Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Christopher Morundi, and now fresh off his Latin assignment, teaching Latin, not Latin American assignment, is Vicar Lawson Short. And so the three of us will continue our study of the readings for the first of our pre-Lent Sunday, Septuagesima. Don't be scared away in any way, shape, or form by that Latin name. It just means roughly 70 days before Easter. We have three pre-Lent Sundays. This one can kind of be looked at as a grace alone Sunday. And that theme comes very clearly in our gospel reading for today. Matthew 20, 1 to 16. Vicar, take it away.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last."
The last will be first, and the first last. You know, we throw that phrase around a lot. Yep. In church. We joke about it. We use it for just about every kind of situation imaginable, except for the one that Jesus is using it for right here. So could we say in a broader sense, this first, last, last, first, this is a teaching of humility, yeah, like we just heard in Psalm 18?
Yeah, and we're going to dive into this text and look at it in more detail, but you always, when you're dealing with a parable, you got to keep the main point in mind. And Jesus says the main point right there. This is a parable. Whatever else we can say about it, and we'll be able to pull out some other things as well, whatever you can say about it, it is teaching about humility.
We have clearly taught to us in Scripture where God says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you," which goes very, very much against the flow of contemporary evangelical American Christianity. And we have here at the end of our parable some words where God is talking about doing the choosing, and so that might make us a little bit uncomfortable right off the top. And then we have where the generosity of God is highlighted. Well, we all like the generosity of God, but we get a little picky with regard to how God doles out the generosity. Let's look at some of the details of this parable. And again, we want to be reminded not to get bogged down in the details, mm-hmm, but look toward that goal or to that point where Jesus is driving us. We have the kingdom of heaven is like. Pastor, do you want to say a few words about just in general, mm-hmm, the kingdom of heaven is like parables.
Yeah, this is especially a feature of Jesus's teachings in the Gospel of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like. That's how he introduces a lot of parables, maybe most of them. The kingdom of heaven, this is, we think immediately heaven, and or what we think of up in the sky. We think of eternal life, that sort
when,
of thing.
When I die, yep. my soul goes to heaven.
Yep.
That's usually the tiny limit
yep.
that we Christians think about when we hear heaven.
With Jesus, though, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, Jesus kind of uses the two kind of interchangeably. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is not something that's just in the sky when you die, though it is that. These things are true there, but this is true wherever God's kingdom is being extended here on this earth. And Luther teaches us quite nicely in the Catechism that the kingdom of God is wherever the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God lead holy lives according to it. So Luther captures it perfectly. So if you want to know what the kingdom of God is, read the Catechism. Learn the Catechism. Memorize the Catechism. And there you see that the kingdom of God is where God's word is going forth. And so he's not saying this is what it's like in heaven, though it is. He's saying this is actually what it's like on earth, where my word is going forth.
So these kingdom of heaven parables are not teaching pie in the sky when you die kind of theology. They're talking about what the church should look like
yeah.
right here and right now, where heaven and earth intersect. Mm-hmm. The temple of God, Jesus, on earth mm-hmm. for us. And this is how it should manifest itself among us. So now we get into the details of this particular parable in Matthew 20. The master of the house went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So we have the master of the house. And then down in verse 8, we have the owner of the vineyard. Is the master of the house and the owner of the vineyard one and the same?
That's interesting. I'm sure throughout church history you've had people who have taken it either or both ways. I'm inclined to say that they're the same. I wonder what you think, Pastor. I believe that that's probably the same figure. And in this parable, I would say that we certainly identify with God in general, the Trinity, but I would say that's probably Jesus giving out the wages through his servants.
Yeah, I don't think that we have anything in this parable that would make us say anything. So again, we don't want to get bogged down on the details.
Yep.
We don't want to get off on some wild goose chase here. And then we have time.
Mm-hmm.
Time is a very, very big part
yes.
of this parable. So we have the owner of the vineyard who has a problem. The grapes, the harvest is ready to be harvested. The grapes are ready to be picked. And so the owner needs harvesters. So he goes out early in the morning, and then verse 3, the third hour, and then verse 5, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and verse 6, the 11th hour, and then verse 8, when evening came.
Mm-hmm.
So we have early in the morning. We've got this entire day in the harvest of this vineyard spelled out for us here.
Yep.
This is more than one day on a particular grape harvest.
No, yes, certainly.
What does this all-encompassing from early in the morning to evening, what does this time teach us about what's going on, Pastor?
Well, in one sense, you could say simply it serves the purposes of the story, that the main point that Jesus is making, that is humility. But I've understood this parable in a couple different ways. I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are, Pastor. I've often taught this in two different, well, two connected but similar ways, that the hours in the vineyard are either the times in a person's life that they come to faith. I think that's a fairly common interpretation of these hours. So you have some people who come to the faith very early in life. They're baptized as babies. And especially you can direct this kind of sermon when you're preaching to a group of people where you have a congregation full of people who have been Christians their whole lives. And then you have people come in, you know, as teenagers or as middle age. And then you have the deathbed conversions. And so then you can kind of preach this at the angle that you know, not looking down on those who come into the church later. Another way, too, to think of it, and I think this is equally legitimate, is to look at it in terms of the entire history of the church, in that you have those who are there right at the dawn. That's the apostles, the evangelists, the 12. And then you have those, you know, in the early days of the church, when the patriarchs of the church, the great fathers of the church, were preaching. Then you have those in the Middle Ages. Then you have those who were there for the Reformation. Then us here at the 11th hour. And this gives us a broad picture of the church that we're all equal. We're all equal in the sight of God.
So do you have a particular preference for which one of those you think?
I think the first one is probably more legitimate, but I think it can be applied either direction.
Yeah, I think when I asked you the question before about does this refer to the individual Christian or the corporate nature of Christianity or to Christ, I think you can make an argument for yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
And we can see the life of Christ in his labor in the vineyard mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. with regard to his incarnation, his the miracles, the parables, his teaching, his crucifixion. You have this all the way through here, and the humility that he displayed
mm-hmm. yep.
with regard to the task that the Father sent him about. So I think we can look at these in a lot of different ways rather than pigeonhole this parable into all of you who have been Christians for a long time, mm-hmm. you need to repent and start being nice to visitors. This is really the way this particular parable is taught and proclaimed. And not that we shouldn't be nice to visitors or to new Christians or anything like that, but it is such that is such a narrow and limited way to look at this particular parable. Now we do have another contrast that's coming, and we want to hit this after the break, and that is that contrast between the humility that we've been talking about and grumbling. We've got some grumbling going on in this parable, and it all has to do with wages. That could never happen in our world today, could it? No. Well, of course it can. Chew on that for a moment. We're going to take a short break. This is Proclaiming the One. We'll be right back.